Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us Mr. Paul Williams. We're going to be talking about his fascinating book, Osama's Revenge. And Mr. Williams is a writer. I believe he certainly has been a consultant for the FBI. But he's put together a book that gives you real insight into the thinking of Osama bin Laden. Now, everybody knows that Osama bin Laden declared war on America in 1996 and 1998. And he's written a number of statements. But you've never read the statements in their entirety. And one of the great things about this book is you're going to actually read exactly what Osama bin Laden has been saying, and you begin to understand why he's doing what he's doing, and how it seems that everything we're doing would be to inflame not only Osama and al-Qaeda, but the entire Islamic world. And with that as a background, Mr. Williams, thank you so very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and how you happened to come to write this book?
Well, first of all, I have a PhD in philosophical theology. I was a college professor for many years. Then I became a newspaper man. I owned and operated a newspaper called the Metro, which was the largest weekly here in Pennsylvania, and won several awards, and I became really a journalist. And as a journalist, I wrote an awful lot of pieces about the mafia, about organized crime, and the relationship between organized crime and international terrorism. And that brought me into the attention of the FBI, and I served as a chief consultant for the FBI for over 7 years. And my work with the Bureau resulted in numerous arrests and convictions. And I'm the author of about 20 books, I guess. And my latest is the one we're talking about tonight.
All right, fine. Of course, the book is Osama's Revenge. Now, what it contains really is a great deal of information, the writings of Osama bin Laden, and really gives you tremendous insight into what he thinks, how he feels, why he's doing what he's doing. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, I sure hope so. I find it very amazing that the national media, from the New York Times to the L.A. Times, the major TV stations, have never really aired the views of bin Laden the way they should have been aired. Bin Laden, for example, as you know, wrote a very detailed letter to the American people. And I use that as a prologue in the book. And he outlines exactly why he has to attack us. He explains why he is, that 4 million Americans must die for the sake of parity. He outlines all of our offenses and all of our sins. Takes us to task for President Clinton and Clinton's immorality, and lays the groundwork for the jihad and why we have to be punished.
And of course, he points out that we had killed an awful lot of Iraqis and a lot of Iraqi children, certainly with our policies towards Iraq, and of course they're really because they're Muslims. This is why he's concerned. After all, if you attack one Muslim, you attack all Muslims, and we were relatively unconcerned about the 500,000 or more Iraqi children that died, just like the because of the blockade over there in the 1990s, just as the average American is unconcerned about the death of 100,000 Iraqi civilians since we went into Iraq to liberate them from the wicked Saddam Hussein under really very, very false premises and for false reasons. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest. Well, I guess this afternoon is Paul Williams, and Paul Williams has written an amazing book. It's called Osama's Revenge. Paul has a PhD, and then, of course, he became a newspaper man. Now it's a long way from being a major author and the author of 20 books, but to becoming the author of a weekly newspaper. How did you make that transition?
Well, the colleges paid horribly, Dr. Steve. I mean, I had to make a living. I had a family, kind of existentially shipwrecked in around Scranton, Pennsylvania, which is the worst place to shipwreck if you have to do that. And I couldn't just make a living teaching classes at the University of Scranton and Wilkes University and various colleges around here. I began to do other things. I began first by writing grants and proposals, and I went from there to creating a newspaper. And the newspaper was very, very successful. And from that, you know, I began looking into, like I said before, wrote a lot of articles on the waste management industry and the garbage industry, because that's so large here in northeastern Pennsylvania, and how the mafia infiltrates all aspects of that business. And that led me, strangely enough, into international terrorism.
Well, of course, was there any relationship between the mafia and international terrorism?
Yeah, there's a matter of fact, there are tentacles that unite them. Bin Laden, of course, is very heavily involved and has been since he returned to Afghanistan in 1996 in the drug trade, with the establishment of the various drug routes from Afghanistan, one going up through Russia, through Chechnya into Georgia, and from there down to Cyprus, a second route that goes from Afghanistan through Iran, through Turkey to Bulgaria. He established those two routes, and at the distribution points are the Sicilian Mafia, and that makes his entire jihad possible. The revenues from the drug trade.
All right,
he's really amassed to about $15 to $20 billion a year.
All right, for their listeners on KKMC, apparently we came on a little late, and so many of you didn't get the name of our guest. His name is Paul Williams, and he has a PhD, and of course he was a college professor. But to make a living, of course, he went to work as a publisher of a newspaper. It was called the Metro. It was one of the largest weekly newspapers, I guess the largest weekly newspaper in Pennsylvania. And of course, he wrote about the mafia, and because of his writing about the mafia, he came to the attention of the FBI and became a consultant for them for many years. And because of his work outside the FBI, he was able to help them arrest many of the members of the mafia there, and of course do away with a lot of the crime. But we're talking about the relationship now between the mafia and Osama. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Paul Williams. So we were just talking about the relationship between Osama bin Laden and the mafia. Would you like to just pick that up? Because we just had all of our stations from across America rejoin us.
Sure. A couple people, Chechens, appeared in northeastern Pennsylvania in the late 1990s. They came from Little Odessa, from the Coney Island area. And they were here really to meet with some local mafiosos. And these two guys sold drugs. They sold arms, all kinds of arms, everything from Uzis down to Saturday Night Specials. And they also were involved in stealing cars, the latest model cars, the high-end cars, Mercedes-Benz, Porsche Boxsters, things like that, high-end Cadillacs, Lexuses. They would steal them from New York and New Jersey. They would buy a similar model that had been junked at junkyards throughout the country, switch the serial numbers from the junk car to the stolen car, repaint it, and sell it. I became involved really while I was working with the Bureau and with these two guys that came into the area with the stolen cars and the guns and the drugs.
Now, were these people really an extension of the Islamic terrorist movement?
Yes. Yeah. These guys were, you wouldn't call them very religious. They were Muslim. Chechens, by and large, Dr. Stan, as you know, are Muslims.
Right.
You know, they're trying to set that up as an Islamic state. And they're really brothers of Al Qaeda. But these two guys were, by and large, scumbags. They were, I don't think they said their prayers five times a day, and you know, I don't think they could recite the surahs from the Quran. But in any case, these two guys came over. I found out because of a major deal that the Cheshire Mafia had made with Al-Qaeda back in 1996. And then I came to learn that that deal concerned theft of nuclear materials and weapons from the Russian arsenal that got into the hands of the Chechen Mafia, and which they in turn sold to bin Laden. That included 20 nuclear suitcase bombs. And because of the amount of money that was exchanged at that time, a lot of these Chechens could migrate to the United States, where they set up their own version of their mafias in places like Little Odessa. And that's how these two guys came to the States. They were provided with wives, green cards, and they're still here among us.
All right, fine. And they're still involved in the criminal activity?
They're still involved in the criminal activity. That's still going on. And as I said, you know, the ties between these Chechens and Al-Qaeda is very, very strong.
Well, I think what was really so fascinating, and one of the things I thought was so valuable about your book, was you actually printed the entire text of Osama bin Laden's declaration of war on America. And you certainly have the one in 1998. Do you have the one in 1996 as well?
Yeah, I have that as well. And, of course, after that, in 2002, he wrote a very detailed letter to the American people, which is, I think, even more illuminating.
Why don't you explain to our listeners, because the average individual has been lied to by our government. They hate us because we're free and we're democratic, and they hate us because they don't want freedom. Well, they do want freedom. That's the problem. They want to be free of the tyrannical governments we're supporting over there and the dictators that we're supporting over there. But why don't you, of course, explain to our listeners the rationale behind their point of view and what they're thinking about?
Well, first of all, bin Laden says that that our offenses began with the creation of the State of Israel in 1949. And, of course, the disruption of the Palestinians, the uprooting of the Palestinian people. After that, you know, he said that the United States has invaded Muslim lands on numerous occasions. We've invaded Iraq first in 1991 under President George H.W. Bush, and shortly after that under President Clinton, we invaded Somalia, and then, of course, we invaded Afghanistan and invaded Iraq again. He said as a result of these invasions that over 4 million Muslim people have died.
Now, of course, the thing is that he doesn't think that we had any right to invade Iraq. He thinks that we actually suggested that Saddam invade Kuwait, and when he did it, we used that sort of as a justification for going to war. Would that be a fair statement?
That would be a fair statement because, you know, traditionally, as you know, Dr. Stan, Kuwait was always a part of Iraq, so they were just reclaiming territory that was, you know, historically and traditionally theirs. So he thought that it was strictly a Muslim affair and we had no business there at all.
Well, of course, anybody who's read Bob Woodward's book, I think Six Presidents, where George Bush is in the White House or the Oval Office with his advisors, and they want, of course, to negotiate with Saddam to get him to pull out. And George Herbert Walker Bush, according to Woodward, says, no, there'll be no negotiation to try to get him to pull out. We have to have this war. I don't know where that occurred, but this is what Woodward says. Nobody's ever denied it. So it would appear that he was determined to have a war in 1991. And, of course, as a result of that, an awful lot of Iraqis died, didn't they?
Well, most of them died because of the sanctions, as you pointed out earlier. We imposed sanctions on the people of Iraq, and throughout those years, medicine and needed supplies were denied to, according to bin Laden, to children and women and old people. And because of that, millions died.
The American people weren't aware of that. The American people didn't know what was going on over there.
I don't think so. No,
I don't think there any more than they realize
right,
the reality.
What's going on right now, right?
100,000 Iraqi civilians have been killed since we went in to liberate them.
Well, it's madness. But he goes on. He said another offense, the thing that he's offended by is the military bases, the U.S. military bases in Arabia, between the holy cities of Mecca and Medina. He says that they pose an insult. They're like idols in the midst of Holy Land, and they have to go.
Well, of course, didn't our leaders have any idea that by posting our troops on the Holy Land of Arabia, we would inflame the anger of the Islamic people?
I think it all came down, and I think you'd probably agree with me, to economics, to, the Saudi oil. Without that oil, none of this would have taken place. But, you know, and then he outlines, you know, our other offenses, the moral example that we hold for the world, and the way we're corrupting the morals of the people, and the way we contaminate everything we touch. We pollute the rivers and the skies, and he says that we are a blight on all of humanity. We have to be done away with.
And this is what Osama bin Laden is saying now.
Exactly.
Right. And of course, but I think the American people really would be entitled at least to know what our enemy is saying about us. But of course, that has been totally suppressed. I've never read much of this except in your things. And I read the New York Times and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal. And a lot of this information, it just is not getting to the American people.
Do you know what really isn't getting to the American people? This is really what gets in my claw. Since 1992, when bin Laden was in the Sudan, he started collecting and buying and purchasing nuclear supplies and materials. We know this guy is nuclear capable. The Pakistanis tell us that. The Israelis tell us that. The Russians tell us that. The Italians tell us that. The Brits tell us that. We know that. He tells us that. He says, yes, I have nuclear weapons, and I intend to use them. We know that he's purchased nuclear weapons from the Chechen Mafia. We know that he's been buying weapons from a guy by the name of Semyon Mogilevich from the Ukraine. We know that he has been advised by scientists from the AQ Khan Research Institute in Pakistan. We know that he has secured the services of Spetsnaz technicians from the former Soviet Union. We know that all this has been going on.
Well, I don't think the average American knows that, though.
That is
the thing. That is why your book is so important. And, of course, if you have suitcase bombs, you've got to keep servicing those on a regular basis, don't
exactly.
You? And that's why he has hired all these other experts on this sort of thing, on the nuclear technology.
Dr. Stan, what exactly? But he has been meeting regularly, with scientists like Dr. Mahmoud and Dr. Majid from the AQ Khan Research. I hope your listeners know who this guy is.
Well, would you mind explaining to our listeners who they are? Because I don't think they do. They probably even don't know who Khan is. But,
okay.
Of course, that was the Pakistani scientist who developed the Pakistan's bomb. But please tell our listeners who these people are and why it is so significant that Osama bin Laden and his people have been meeting with these nuclear scientists.
Okay, AQ Khan is a Pakistani. He's the most celebrated hero in Pakistan right now. He's the father of the Islamic bomb. He worked in Holland for many years, and he became very well versed in centrifuge technology. He stole that technology from the Netherlands, returned to Pakistan, and started. He established the AQ Khan research facility there, and from that time until 1998, when he developed the bomb and first tested the bomb successfully, he made Pakistan a nuclear power. Now, since that time, since he nuked up Pakistan, the guy has been the number one nuclear proliferator in the whole world. He's the one who has made North Korea nuclear capable. He's the one who has made Iran nuclear capable. He's the one who is providing expertise to Libya and places like that. This and people from his institute, including AQ Khan himself, has been meeting regularly with bin Laden.
And, of course, the most amazing thing is that after he admits all these things, why, he gets a pardon from Musharraf, who's our man.
Exactly.
Why would we, of course, have our man pardon this guy, who is a criminal, who is, of course, created tremendous instability all throughout the Middle East. But there are a lot of unanswered questions out there, and we'll try to answer some of them when we get back. Our guest today is Paul Williams. His book is Osama bin Laden. It goes into the background. It's called Osama's Revenge. It's a fascinating book because here you get, of course, into the mind of Osama bin Laden that you'll never get from Rush Limbaugh or from Bill O'Reilly. Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination.
a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Paul Williams. His book is Osama's Been a Revenge. And on page 129, why we quote from Mullah Muhammad Anwar, and this is November 14th, 2001, after we had attacked Afghanistan, that offered, of course, to send Osama bin Laden to another country for trial, that offered to force him to leave the country, and there was no way, of course, we were going to allow them to do that, because we were determined to go to war there, but not to get Osama bin Laden. That's the frightening thing. We did not allow the special forces units to after him, not until after he'd escaped. They were prevented from getting Osama bin Laden. Why would you do that? If you doubt that, we've got a wonderful clipping out of the Washington Post, pardon me, the Washington Times, quoting high government officials saying, we're not trying to get Osama bin Laden. You must understand, how would we justify the war if we got Osama? But here, now after we've really antagonized the people over there, we've the Taliban, who really didn't have anything against America. Mullah Omar pleaded with Osama not to attack America. But after, of course, we'd killed thousands and thousands of Taliban, Mullah Omar said this: the real matter is the extinction of America. And God willing, it, and that is America, will fall to the ground. So we have really done everything we could to inflame the Islamic world, haven't we?
Even taking that a step further, right now 80% of the mosques, according to Sheikh Kabbani, who's the president of the North American Islamic Council, 80% of the mosques have been radicalized.
Right here, we're talking not about overseas, we're talking about right here in the United States.
Right.
Detroit and the places where there are really a very growing influence in the Islamic community. And that really puts the American Muslim here in a real difficult problem, the place, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I've been looking very closely. I'm on the other coast from you, Dr. Stan, as you know. I'm close to New York. And there's a mosque not too far from where I am, called the Farouk Mosque in Brooklyn. And the Farouk Mosque in the last few years now, this is since 9/11, has raised between, this is one mosque, has raised $15 to $20 million for the jihad. It has served as a recruiting station for the Mujahideen. It has served as a refuge for Al-Qaeda operatives, and it's right here in our midst. And I don't think that's a mosque that's singular. I think that Kabbani is right, that the mosques throughout the country are the same. They've been radicalized.
Why would we allow this? I mean, well, this just doesn't make sense any more than it would make sense that we're taking... Have you ever seen that wonderful movie by Stephen Emerson, Jihad in America?
I haven't, I'm sorry.
Oh, if you ever have a chance to get one, or really even send you one. I mean, this is FBI footage shot in 1988, where here was these Islamic radicals in Oklahoma City talking about the coming jihad and the attack on the financial towers of America's imperialism and things like that.
Right.
1988. So they knew exactly what was going to happen. And they did not do anything, and they're letting these mosques do exactly what they're doing. Why, if we're really involved in a war on terrorism, would they not take action to get them, but take action on all the law-abiding, peaceful Americans and have them go through the humiliation of the searches going on to our airplanes, but not allow, by law, the airlines to question or to actually target more than two Muslims on every plane? That doesn't make any sense.
It absolutely. Look at it this way. If we during the time of our of my father and maybe your father and my grandfather, well, my father served in World War II, and my uncles did as well. I can't imagine during World War II, America at that time permitting the Bund to expand and to prosper. I can't imagine the Americans during that time allowing German American societies to raise money for the Third Reich. I can't imagine us permitting recruiting stations for the Gestapo or for Hitler's army to be taking place within the U.S. And yet, that's what's happening right now with this present war. We have these places right in our midst, and we're allowing this to continue.
I'm glad you're concerned about this as I am as well, because none of this makes any sense from a logical point of view. But, of course, as we go through your book, you talk about the fact that Osama very obviously does have access to nuclear weapons, and certainly he's been interested in chemical and biological weapons. So if he has them, why haven't they attacked the United States so far? That is the $64,000 question, and we're going to get to that as soon as we get back from the break here. But this is an excellent book. It's got a lot of information, a lot of quotations from bin Laden and from the Islamic leaders you'll never read about in the American press. And I would simply ask why. How did you get those quotations?
Well, I got a lot of them from government sources.
All right, fine. So they are available. I guess just the people at the New York Times can't seem to find them. We'll be back here in just a moment with Paul Williams' book, Osama's Revenge, a book well worthwhile reading.
Except genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. You might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Richard Day was the medical director of Planned Parenthood. He wasn't actually the president of Planned Parenthood. But our four-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians, based upon the talk that he gave back in 1969, is one of the most fascinating of all of the various things, of all the tape sets we have. And you can actually get a transcript of that. These are not interviews that I did. One of them I did, because I tracked down Dr. Dennegan, who had attended that meeting, and wanted to, in my own mind, find, could this incredible story really be true? And it is. Three of the interviews with Dr. Dunn, with Randy Engel, and so with her permission, we've reproduced them. And then you can get the transcript, and you'll find out what was planned back in 1969. Of course, just 3 months before Dr. MacArthur went before the House Appropriations Committee on Military Defense and asked for $10 million to create a new disease, for which there'd be no immune response, a disease for mass killing. Well, this is, of course, the four-tape set. The New Order of the Barbarians is available from Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you want the transcript, you can get that. And I suggest that you get both the four-tape set and the transcript. It's a little more expensive because I think we have to pay a right to the woman who actually did the three of these interviews. So we give her royalty on every one of these we sell. But it is a fascinating insight into what's going on in the world today. And, of course, unless you understand what was happening back in 1969, what the plans were at that time, why it's so difficult to understand or make any sense out of anything happening today. The four-tape set, The New Order of the Barbarians. And, of course, Dr. Day actually talked about this as the order, and you get the transcript of that as well. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course we'll be glad to take your questions from out across America. If you have a question for Paul Williams, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Paul, you know, the question that intrigues me is why, you know, if he has these weapons, and he has it, and he has this intense hatred for America, why haven't we had an attack since September 11, 2001?
Well, first, Dr. Stan, this bin Laden is extremely patient. He prides himself on his patience. A surah in the Quran says, I will be patient until I outpatience patience. And he's shown that. The first attack on the Trade Center, the World Trade Center, of course, occurred in 1993. He waited 8 years for the second. Secondly, I think he has to wait because he wants this to be a big shebang. He wants tactical nuclear weapons to be detonated in at least 7 sites throughout the U.S. at exactly the same time. And this requires, of course, incredible amount of timing and planning. Readiness. He had to smuggle the weapons into the country, which of course isn't too difficult with our present state of affairs at the borders and the fact that even to this day the 5,000 cargo containers that arrive in the port of New York and New Jersey every day, the less than 250 are opened and examined. So it's not too hard to ship things into the country. You could ship a nuke in here in a FedEx box. But he had to get the various cells ready. These weapons, as you pointed out earlier, have to be maintained, too, and they have to be readied for detonation. And that requires a great deal of expertise as well. So I think he's just waiting for the precise moment when all this can come together. And the timing hasn't been quite right yet. But according to Dr. Graham Allison from Harvard University, according to Bill Keller from the New York Times, and according to General Eugene Habinger, who was in charge of strategic weapons at the Pentagon, that time should arrive before the end of 2005.
So you're talking about just a little over a year, or perhaps just a little less than a year, before we have this major cataclysmic event here in the United States. And the last one certainly shook the very foundation of our economic system, the drop in the stock market, a real impact upon, certainly on our airlines, for which they've never fully recovered.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if we do have a shaky economy, something like this could have a really profound impact, couldn't it?
Well,
and psychologically, I would think that you would strike fear in the hearts of Americans who have always had it so good and never seen war and never thought of the implications of millions of Americans dying like they've died over in Iraq.
Well, Dr. Stan, if you look at one of these weapons, just one of these tactical nukes that he has developed with people from the AQCON, research facility. If you look at one of these weapons that he purchased from the Chechen Mafia back in 1996, one of these suitcase nukes, they have a yield of up to 10 kilotons, which means that if one of these weapons were detonated in Manhattan, for instance, at the same spot as 9/11, first of all, about 15 to 20 blocks would immediately be eradicated. Secondly, there'd be this huge fireball that would come from that explosion. It would measure up to 460 feet in diameter. The fireball would, at the core of the fireball, would reach a temperature of 10 million degrees Celsius. It would rip through New York, vaporizing buildings, concrete buildings, steel buildings, vans, trucks, people, in instantly. Of course, anyone who beheld this fireball would be blinded. Thirdly, from this blast, from this fireball, after this fireball ripped through Manhattan, would come a juggernaut blast in excess of 640 miles an hour, twisting the remaining buildings like pretzels. And finally would come the huge mushroom-shaped cloud, with the final result that millions would be dead. That's from one of these weapons, one weapon in one major metropolitan area. If seven went off, it's not only cataclysmic, it's the end of Western civilization as we know it. It's night-night for the USA.
Well, now, of course, how do we know that he actually has them? I mean, we've heard that he has them, but is there any definitive proof that he actually has purchased these from the Chechnyan rebels?
Yes. I'll tell you where the proof comes from. From the laptop of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed came the first visible proof that, yeah, he had developed weapons. Secondly, from our canvassing of Afghanistan, the caves and safe houses there, we came upon detailed plans for the bombs. One document is called Super Bomb, very, very sophisticated. It shows that this guy, that his technicians have the knowledge of MIT scientists. Thirdly, from the interrogations and from canvassing and confiscating the materials from Dr. Mahmoud and Dr. Marji from the AQCON research facility, we know that several of these weapons have been deployed from Karachi, and at least two of them have safely arrived in the U.S. So we know all these things just from the material that we could glean from the present war on terror. Yeah, he announces, Al-Zawahiri announces, Mullah Omar announces, every spokesman from Al-Qaeda, every spokesman of radical Islam announces they have these nukes. Hans Blix went to see if in fact that sale with the Chechen Mafia took place in 1996. He went over there as a skeptic, and Blix came back and reported to the UN, yeah, the weapons were sold to Al-Qaeda. So I can't imagine any greater proof than that. We have it from the horse's mouth, we have it from third, from impartial sources, we have it from internal sources, so, you know.
Well, you know, what I can't understand is why we haven't, with, of course, our intelligence facilities and the CIA we have that thinks nothing at all about, kidnapping people. Faced with this, why haven't we, of course, taken Khan prisoner and gotten the information from him as to where those things are, who bought them, so we can track them down?
That's a wonderful, as you just said, you know, a little while back, Musharraf, as soon as he was, He really wasn't even arrested. I mean, he admitted that he was guilty and he was exonerated. I mean, he's free right now. Dr. Khan, you know, can roam about Pakistan as a national hero.
He's one of the most dangerous men in the world today.
The most dangerous. But that's a great question. How can he? And it's the same. You know, we know where Osama bin Laden is right now as we're speaking. I mean, the U.S. military right now could go in and grab him by the collar and throw him in a cell. He is in the Valley of Deer in the northwest frontier province of Pakistan. A Boy Scout troop could find him. Of course, if anybody steps foot into that area, it's an autonomous tribal area. It's not controlled by the government of Pakistan. And if we step foot there, we're going to have 20 million Muslims up in arms, you know, joining the jihad.
I'm afraid we're going to have 20 million Muslims up in arms after Fallujah. There, and this is the thing that frightens me, that whatever we do, the more we do, the deeper we sink into the quicksand.
Lose, exactly.
Well, let's go to Ben, who's calling in from Salinas. Now, hi, Ben, do you have a question for our guest?
I'm going to run a scenario past your guest, and I'm praying that he can shoot it full of holes right out of the sky. Let's say that we do implement these bombs go off over there. Now
bombs go off where?
Let's say he's something about seven bombs being coordinated and blown out to different parts strategically of the United States.
Right.
Okay, if this terrorism thing pays. Now, listen, if they actually do that, that to me would be saying that the same people that planned and allowed Pearl Harbor's second on 9/11 are already in the Office of Special Planning in the Pentagon, planning Pearl Harbor number 3.
I don't think Mr. Williams would agree with that, but all right, go ahead. Make your question.
Okay, the question is this. If this event should come off, it is my idea we will have overnight martial law, of which these people in the control now will have more than they ever dreamed of, and it will take the United Nations to reinstore voting right here in third world country America, where we're going to be begging and begging, paying more blood for nothing more, sir, than the right to vote and have it count.
All right, thank you so much, Ben. How would you respond to Ben's scenario, though?
I think that Ben doesn't realize that, you know, if seven of these bombs go off as he plans, I mean,
he doesn't want it to happen, and nobody in the right mind would want that. Right.
But if one of them goes off, it's the end of the United States as we know it. I mean, you're not going to be talking about, you're not even going to be concerned about global affairs at that time. You're just going to be concerned about your own security and the welfare of your families.
Okay, I certainly would agree with you, and I think that Ben's concern is that we would have martial law, and I believe we would have martial law. We would have total chaos in America. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. You know, the GNP would drop immediately. You know, almost everybody would be out of work. Just the economic repercussions would be, you know, unfathomable for us to even conceive of.
Okay, well, let's go to Larry calling from Arizona. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Fine,
I have a question for our guest.
Yeah, just a quick comment first. It's just funny that listening on GCN today, I've heard that Osama's in China, he's in Iran, and now he's in Pakistan.
All right, well, I think that there's a lot of confusion out there as to where Osama bin Laden is, but did you have a question?
Yes, the question that I have is, I listen to Alex Jones just about every day, and he's sure that Osama bin Laden is a CIA asset, and that Osama's been in the United States as the late 90s, and that Osama bin Laden's family has all these ties to the Bush family. And I'd like your guest to answer about that.
All right. Would you feel about this?
I think that's crazy.
All right, fine. So there's your answer, Larry. Thanks so much. All right, fine. And, of course, I think that what we have to do is try to keep our eye on the ball and not get a lot of distractions. And, of course, there's a real threat, but if we got so many distractions, we can't see what's going on because we're off on this track to that track to the other track. I think America's in a very, very real danger today. And the thing that really frightens me is that the average American doesn't realize that.
Exactly, Dr. Stan. That your last caller was, you know, he's right on the money in some ways, because he represents, I think most Americans don't realize the danger that we're faced with. They don't realize that these people are at war with us. We can think, oh, we're not at war with them, we can bring about some peace. These people are intent upon parity. They have to achieve parity. and they continuously say that 4 million Americans, including 2 million children, must die.
And that is because, of course, we have killed that many Muslim children and that many Muslim adults. And they have this idea of an eye for an eye, a life for a life. And the American people don't understand that. The men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to repose. And where was the outcry in America when 500,000 Iraqi children were dying because of the sanctions that President Bush pushed on in a war that we could have avoided, but he would not allow? The book, I think, is Sick Presidents. You really need to get it, Bob Woodward. And, of course, his associates, certainly Brett Scowcroft and the others, James Baker, wanted to negotiate so we didn't go to war. And according to Woodward, why anybody wants to see the pages, I'll send to them, the president said, we have to have this war. This was 1991. And so we got the war, and as a result of that, why, we've just managed to inflame the entire world. But what can we do at this point? We know there's a problem, and I have no question that there's a very real nuclear threat to America, which most people are totally oblivious of. So what do we do when we have the knowledge that you bring out so beautifully in your book?
I think that we have to take immediate action. I think that, first of all, we know that the mosque have been radicalized. We know that these people are crossing from the Middle East now. Thousands of them are crossing Cochise County from Mexico through Cochise County into the U.S. They're from Iraq. They're from Afghanistan. They're from Pakistan. They're not here to serve as caretakers or pool cleaners or to cut your lawn. They're here for some other reason, and they're coming over here every day by the hundreds. Now, I think, first of all, we have to address that problem. Second of all, I think we have to address the sleeper agents that are already in our midst. One ended up working for ABC News. I mean, it's a daft situation.
Well, and I agree with it is. And well, what else? But I mean, we have to address it, and yet the administration consistently refuses to stop the immigration or try to seal our borders or do any of the logical things that you would do faced with the very real threat that I believe exists and that you believe exists. So why aren't we doing what is logical? It's almost like we live in a world gone mad. There are only a couple of people who realize what's going on. Everybody thinks we're crazy.
Dr. Stan, Dick Cheney on his campaign, and he was in Pennsylvania, and this is where I live, but he was here like almost every day, and he continuously said on every stop that the number one threat that we're faced with is a nuclear threat from Al-Qaeda. Constantly said that. Kerry, in the presidential debate, said the number one threat that we have is this nuclear proliferation, and that nuclear weapons are now in the hands of Al-Qaeda. George Bush agreed with him. Now, if all of our leaders really believe that, how come they're not taking off the gloves and ferreting out Al-Qaeda operatives that are already in this country? And I can't understand it.
And why aren't they trying to build an adequate civil defense system for the defense of the American people? Russia has a civilian defense system to defend their population, and we have no effective civilian defense system to defend our population here in America. Just doesn't make sense.
If President Bush sat down tonight among his cabinet members, he brought in every cabinet member, including Tom Ridge from Homeland Security, and he asked him, he said, okay, now who's in charge of nuclear terrorism? Who can address that issue? Not one hand would go up.
Well, I think one of the most disconcerting things to me was I attended a meeting of the largest civilian defense program about 3 or 4 months ago. And, of course, there were 15 people there, including the speakers. And that was the morning session. And during the question and answers, somebody was talking about FEMA, and a woman put up her hand, and she says, I work for FEMA. And she says, I want you to know, we have no program to protect you. You're going to have to plan to protect yourself. And that, to me, was one of the most frightening things I've ever heard. I've always suspected it, but I really didn't realize. And I think if there's anything to learn from your book, is the fact that the American people better start making preparations to protect themselves now. We can't save the country necessarily, because it appears their leaders don't want to, but we have to begin looking after ourselves and our families. Would that be a fair statement?
That's a wonderful statement, and that's why programs like yours are so important.
Well, do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
I have my parting thought to is that Americans have to wake up and realize that this war has been declared upon us. It's a very real war, and we're faced with a very real threat.
We are. And I agree with that totally. Again, the book, where can people get your book?
Everywhere, Dr. Stan.
Osama's Revenge, The Next 9-1-1, What the Media and the Government Haven't Told You by Paul Williams. It's an excellent book. It's a good read. And it's, I'll have to admit, I learned a lot about how Osama bin Laden thinks. Thank you so very much. I hope we can get you onto some of our other programs. We do 5 hours of talk radio with Dave, and of course we talk to a lot of different audiences.
You have been a complete pleasure, sir.
God bless you. Thank you
so
much.
God bless you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Another of our fascinating 4-tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's 4 interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I really believe that we live in very, very uncertain times and very dangerous times, and I think that we have to start making our preparations. One thing you really ought to have on hand is a Berkey water filter, and of course, if we ever did have a problem, Berkey water filters have been used, well, the big Berkey's been used for well over 100 years, and it'll filter out the bacteria and the cryptosporidium, and of course, you're in a fluoridated area, and we're still all going to be. Why, of course, you can take out your fluoride and your arsenic and your lead and your MTBE if you're in those areas. It's really a wonderful thing. It's convenient to have. It's gravity. These give you plenty of water for a good-sized family. If you'd like to know more, go to our website and look up Berkey Water Products or give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You need either a big Berkey or a Berkey Light because, of course, you can live without food, but the one thing you can't live without is off water. So give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and the book we've been talking about is Osama's Revenge by Paul Williams. And of course, if we have any orders for it, we can certainly get copies of it for you. That's Osama's Revenge. But one of the books I think is so important is one we talked about last week by Dr. Igor Shafid, and that was Inside the Red Zone. And of course, then what do you do? How do you prepare? I think this book is so important because it tells you what to do and what to do right now to prepare for the difficult times that lay ahead. And I tell you, the book is great because, of course, it tells you about his life in Russia, what it's like to live without freedom. and he's coming to know the Lord, and so he mixes a story of the oppression that exists in Russia, their plans for bacteriological and chemical warfare. He was trained at the London School of the Military Academy there. They're planning on a war with us. And they're still, of course, producing their nuclear weapons and their biological weapons. But you're not hearing this anyplace in America. The book Inside the Red Zone is must reading, but mainly simply because of the list, the checklist in the back of that, which everybody should have and start making preparations. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nobody going to look after you and your family. You better start doing it on your own. Inside the Red Zone's available from Radio Liberty. And then, of course, we've got a great new tape set. In fact, we got two great new tape sets. One is called Operation Paperclip. That is, of course, where, after the Second World War, after the horror of the Nazi Holocaust, why your CIA and your OSS brought over 1,000 Nazis into this country to continue their bizarre experiments on biological warfare and on mind control, and of course, to build our space program. But then, of course, they helped 10,000 of some of the most vicious Nazi criminals. The CIA and, of course, the British intelligence helped 10,000 Nazis escape to South America, to Paraguay, to Argentina, to Brazil. And, of course, there was Klaus Barbie and Eichmann and Mengele and certainly Martin Bormann and all the others went down there. How could that happen? Why didn't we try those Nazis? Why didn't we hold them accountable for the crimes? You can only understand that if you understand the secret societies that exist behind the scenes. Our four tape set on Operation Paperclip is something you'll never forget. And then you better learn about depleted uranium, too, because, of course, we're waging a nuclear war in Iraq today. And you better understand that depleted uranium is nothing more than solid uranium, and we're using it. We're contaminating the homes over there, not only of the Iraqis, but of the American troops as well. And, of course, the government's lying to you like they lied to you about the Gulf War illness. It's very real. And of the 695,000 troops we sent over, the government admits over 200,000 are ill. George Riley says over 400,000 are ill. At least 10,000 have died, probably far more than that. You need to understand that there really is organized evil in the world today. And when you understand that, all the questions I asked Paul Williams really make sense. We're being set up for destruction, and behind that, of course, is God's plan of retribution for this country. And remember Thomas Jefferson's words, "I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever." Why should God hold back his punishment on America? The only question I have is, why has he waited so long? And I remain here because somebody has to sound the warning, and you're certainly not getting this from most places out across America. So pray for America. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle. Get certainly our book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. Read it through. You can get it by itself or with the video and the audio tape. Understand that there really are satanic organizations out there. If you'd like our latest newsletter, which gets into the satanic organization that was sent here in 1640 from Great Britain and took over our financial system. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. We'll be glad to send you a free copy of the October newsletter. And then, of course, we hope you'll get the other items we've talked about. Inside the Red Zone, Operation Paperclip, the four-tape set. Of course, Depleted Uranium, the four-tape set. My book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.